Well, where are the prophets when we need them? And judging from today's readings, no one in their right mind would want to be a prophet. Ezekiel certainly did not. He knew he was being sent to a hard-hearted people who would reject him and his divine message. Paul faced that same fate of rejection as well as physical and emotional abuse. And in the gospel we just heard, Jesus himself experiences both resistance and rejection, but most of all, a lack of faith on the part of his family and friends. The hardness of heart that Ezekiel experienced in our first reading was what Jesus encountered as well. Now, when Scripture refers to the hardness of heart, it's referring to an ongoing state of resistance to the truth. A hard heart is self-contained. A hard heart is complacent, shutting out any contrary positions. Hard-hearted people do not welcome prophets. Hard-hearted people do not listen to Jesus. So we sit here and we ask, are we hard of heart? Are we open to the prophetic? Are we open to the Word of God as it comes in so many different ways? And I ask this, my friends, because I think we really need to start listening for God's voice in the world around us. We really need to start listening for those prophetic voices in our present situation. Here's the context. Over the past 2 months, our country has changed. And it's very safe to say that for some years, America has been flirting with European-style secularism. We've been slowly disavowing ourselves of any convictions, of any connection to religion, and separating ourselves from any symbols which might be offensive. And part of it, of course, can be attributed to the tyranny of the minority, which is a common byproduct of democracy, but also can be attributed to our own indifference in our own hard-heartedness. As a longtime teacher of politics, it's hard to remember when so much change occurred in such a short period of time. From the very important papal encyclical on the environment, to renewed relations with Cuba, to the cathartic tragedy of Charleston and the discussions of racism that followed, to the Supreme Court decisions on single-sex marriage and Affordable Care Act. Now, some of these changes were cause for joy, were they not? And some are real challenges to us as Catholics. And these changes occur, some of you debate, and some of you hate. That's the interesting proposition. Catholics are separate on both sides of these issues, and we raise our voices in condemnation or support. But I suggest, my friends, as we look at these social issues of the day, that maybe we should look just a bit closer to home first and find some rooting in which to respond to the situations unfolding around us. I just want to make one simple observation from today's gospel. For years, I've struggled with this gospel text because it appears so very real and so very timeless and so very human. And you sit there and you might ask, what is going on in Nazareth? And given the question raised by the villagers, Jesus' reputation clearly preceded him. There was, however, a disconnect between what the people knew of Jesus growing up among them and what they were hearing about him. Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary? And the people found it impossible that a carpenter from their village, from a family that they knew well, could be anything else but a carpenter from a familiar family. He could not ever be the Messiah or a prophet much less the Son of God. And then Mark tells us very briefly, they took offense at him. And to which Jesus retorts that very famous phrase, a prophet is not honored except in his native place and among his own people and in his own house. But it really is the next statement that speaks directly to the theology of Mark that underlines his very brief passage. And Mark tells us, and so he, Jesus, was not able to perform any mighty acts among them. Mark sees an inextricable link between faith and action, between faith and miraculous works. Jesus' power was limited in Nazareth because they had no faith in him. Unlike last week when we saw Jairus and the woman with the hemorrhage who were healed, because of their faith, the villagers lacked the faith limited to this ability to bring not only the good news of the kingdom to them, but also the healing power of God's kingdom. And Mark concludes this passage with this startling little statement, and Jesus was amazed at their lack of faith. What would he say to you? Apparently, Jesus had more faith in the people of Nazareth than they had in him. He was amazed by their lack of faith. So I think the message is obvious this July morning, that a lack of faith actually prevents God from helping us as he would like to help us. And without faith, Jesus' intervention in our life will simply fall short. The gospel reminds us to evaluate our own relationship with the Lord and reflect on the quality of our faith. So what is our response to the words and the deeds of the Lord? Is our response that of the villagers, not impressed, dismissive, hard-hearted? Or are we truly women and men sitting in this church this beautiful July morning who truly believe, or who truly want to believe, or who truly desire to believe the words, the deeds, the person of Jesus? And do we really know him? And do we really want to know him? St. John of the Cross, the 16th century mystic, tells us that no matter what we know about Jesus, it is just the beginning. He writes, Jesus is like a rich mine with many veins containing treasure. However deep we dig, there is no limit to the riches we find therein. No matter how deep we dig, there is no limit to the riches found therein. So sitting here today, what Jesus describes as lack of faith, we might look at it a little differently. And we might say it is more our tentativeness to acknowledge God's will. It is more of our tentativeness to acknowledge God's will and a reluctance to respond to it. And if we refuse God's many interventions and God's many invitations in our life, there really is very little that God can do to help you, help us, help me. Jesus does not force himself on you. You're very free to walk away. The Lord does not force himself upon you. And in our hearts, we know that the Lord is telling us, each of us, things we would rather not hear and things we would rather not do. But I stand here as a great believer that we are still called today to be open to God's word and to respond to that, even though we might prefer an easier path. And so, in keeping with my usual Sunday tradition, I give you one or two questions to chew over this week as you drive home or walk across the park or remember the fireworks from last night. Ask yourself, can I accept the prophetic in my life? Do I greet spiritual challenges with a hard heart? Totally indifferent. And secondly, maybe more to the point, is my faith strong enough to accept Jesus as a meaningful resource in this age of skepticism and secularism? But this is the question. If not Jesus, who? And if not Jesus, what? From Paul, Ezekiel, and Jesus, we take our cue, my friends, for our daily response to the Lord in our life. Let us be open to God's grace. Let us be open to the prophets whom God places on our journey, prophets who reveal something to each of us of God's love, God's mercy, God's beauty.